Today's shiur is sponsored by Jerry and Esther Williams. L'zecha Nishmas Jerry's mother, Chava Besli Yehudas Bas Rav Yosef. The Neshama Shev and Aliyah through our learning. Today we're doing an independent topic, the topic of Noi Sukkah, Sukkah decorations. Now, it's not the most lamedish topic in the world. For those who are going through the Marma Kumbis, you probably noticed that. It's more of just a general knowledge kind of topic, and I started preparing this as a 10-minute halacha shiur, but then when I finished and I counted that there were 55 Marma Kumbis, I realized that probably 10 minutes was not going to suffice to get through most of the stuff that we wanted to talk about. The concept of Noi Sukkah is very interesting in the sense that we don't often view it as something that's like really a mitzvah per se, as something that's like an ikar part of the mitzvah. It's like, okay, if I get a chance to decorate the sukkah, I will, if not, not. But it's brought up in the Gemara in a lot of places. It's all over Shas, Noi Sukkah, that they actually did. It was a very old tradition to decorate the sukkah. So I want to discuss a little bit about what the chiyuv is and about the halachos of Noi Sukkah. Very often what happens is you'll go into a sukkah sometimes and the decorations might actually cause a problem with the structure of the sukkah and with the ability to be mekayim in the midst of yeshiva b'sukkah in certain sukkahs. And other times, decorations will fall down and you're not sure what to do with them. Can you touch them? Can you play with them? Can you move them? Can you put them back up? So we have all of these issues to deal with when it comes to Noi Sukkah. And then we have a lot of minhagim issues. What kinds of Noi Sukkah people use? That now it's become very popular for people to have pictures of Gedolim up in the Sukkah, so we'll see if there was any opposition to that or any reason to Dafka do that. There's a lot of Noi Sukkah that have Torah on it, so you have all sorts of shameless issues if there are Psukim on the Noi Sukkah. So there's a lot of interesting, and there are a lot of just old traditional things that for some reason my parents growing up, we always had a fake bird in the sukkah, and I thought it was just our own family's mishigas, but then I went to a lot of other sukkahs, and a lot of people have fake birds in their sukkahs, and it's like a strange thing. Why dafka fake birds? So that's actually discussed by early poskim for the past couple of centuries already, about why it is that we have certain minhagim in regards to Noi Sukkah. So we'll get through as much of it as we can in terms of all of these different topics. Whatever we don't get through, the Marma Kumbis are pretty explicit. So, if you're interested in the topic, you could always go through it. You know, good Ben Gavra LeGavra reading material in Shul on Sukkahs. You can go through it. So there are no less than four Gemaras in Shas that talk about Noi Sukkah. Pointed out over here, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Yud is the primary sugya. The Gemara says, Sicha Kilchasa, if you put up Schach properly, V'itra B'kramnu B'sadin L'Metzuyarin, and then you decorate it with all sorts of sheets and nice things, V'talaba Egozin, and you hang Egozin nuts, Shkedim, other kinds of nuts, Afarskin V'rimonim, and different kinds of fruits, Parchile Anavim, V'atara Shal Shibolin, and grains even, Yeno Shmanu Slasos, and wines, and oils, and flour. Also, it sounds like a pantry more than a sukkah, right? You're hanging up all these different kinds of foods, and that was apparently the minhag as the primary Noi Sukkah, as they would hang up all different kinds of foods. So says the Mishnah. Now, why does it give an example of foods? Because we want to talk about whether you're allowed to use those Noi Sukkah. So if they're food, then it's likely that you might want to come to use it. That you're hungry and they're hanging in the sukkah you forgot to bring the kiddush wine out and hanging in the sukkah a cup of wine. So can you take the wine and make kiddush with it? Can you use those foods? So the Gemara says, Asur this topic min al matzoy yom tov achron shel chag. Absolutely asur until after Shmini Atzeres is over. Vim hisna aleim akolafi tana'o. And if you make it tonight, though, then initially when you put it up, that it shouldn't have the kedusha of Noi Sukkah, that it shouldn't be muktza as Noi Sukkah, that it shouldn't be set aside dafka for the mitzvah and for no other use, then a tanai is binding. You're allowed to make such a tanai. That's one Gemara. We have another Gemara, Masech HaShabbos Chav Beis Amid Aleph, where the Gemara talks about getting hana'a from Noi Sukkah, also raises this question, and the Gemara tries to compare it to getting hana'a from Ner Chanukah, that we know that you're not allowed to count money using the light of the Chanukah candles. Lav dafka count money, you're not allowed to do anything that you're getting hana'a straight from the light of the Chanukah candles. And the Gemara says that in fact the source by Sukkah is a more explicit source than the source by Ner Chanukah. Right? Most of us probably are more familiar with the halacha by Ner Chanukah because we have the Shamish and we're told that that's why we have it, so that we can get hana'a from the lights. But it's really a more explicit source, the Gemara says, in a Braisa by Sukkah than it is by Chanukah. So it seems to be a very, very strong source. And again, we don't have to go through all the Gemaras. The Gemara Maseches Beis on Daf Lamed Amud Beis also has the idea of a Tanai, but unless you make a Tanai, then it's also to use the Naisukah. And also, notably, it gives all these examples of different kinds of foods. And then you have the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos is a little bit different. So the first three just all talk about, you know, where you put up the fruits and you're not allowed to get Hanah from those fruits that you use for the Naisukah. But the Gemara in Shabbos is a little different. It says the Gemara in Shabbos, Tanya, Shabbos Kuflam Gimel Amud Beis. Zekeli ve'anvehu. The word ve'anvehu is a very difficult word to translate, and Chazal all over the place have different translations of the word ve'anvehu. So if you look in the Art Scroll translation, it's, and I will build him a sanctuary. This is my God, ve'anvehu, and I will build him a sanctuary. So how does the Gemara translate the words? Ve'anvehu, not that I'm going to build him a sanctuary, but rather, hisna'el lefan of b'mitzvos. Ve'anvehu is from Lashon Na'a, that it should be beautiful, and that you should make all the mitzvahs that you do beautiful in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should beautify the mitzvahs. For example, the Gemara says, Asei lefanav, sukkah na'a, velulav na'a, v'shofar na'a, tzitzis na'a, sefer Torah na'a, v'kasav bo l'shmo b'dio na'a, and you should also write the sefer Torah with a nice ink, v'kulmus na'a, using a nice pen, b'lav l'ruman, with an expert scribe, v'korcho b'shirayanon, you should wrap it in nice accoutrements, you know, for the Sefer Torah. It should be wrapped very nicely. So, what's the difference between this Gemara and the other Gemaras? The other Gemaras seem very clear that it's a special din in Sukkah. That there's a din to have noi, that you should have beautiful things in your Sukkah. That's dafka din in Sukkah. This Gemara is very different. This Gemara throws this in with all these other halachas. Just like you have a nice shofar, and a nice lulav, and a nice... It's time, it's Zekei Livan Vehu, it's a din of Hidur Mitzvah that we have in Kala Tarukula. Same Hidur Mitzvah, so how do we do it? We do it with Nai Sukkah. That's where this Gemara veers from the other ones. This happens to be a very fascinating Gemara in the, obviously the primary Gemara in the Sugya of Hidur Mitzvah, but it's fascinating to discover what exactly is Hidur Mitzvah. Is Hidur in the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, or in the way that you do the Mitzvah, Ba'ofen Asiyas HaMitzvah also? Because, for instance, the Sefer Torah Na'a, what's the mitzvah from the Sefer Torah? The mitzvah is to learn from the Sefer, to read from the Sefer, to hear the reading from the Sefer. Does it really make a difference in the reading? Why doesn't it say, have a good Bal Koreh? That's the Noi mitzvah. That's the Kiyuma mitzvah. It says, no, you should write it very nicely. Now, the truth is, there is a separate mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So the writing of the Sefer Torah probably has to be done in a nice way. Besides for the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, it's also did in the Kiyuma Mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. But all of these examples are just regular examples of Zekeli Va'anveyu. That's what certainly emerges from this Gemara. So why is it that we have Nai Sukkah? So there seem to be two basic approaches in the Rishonim and Achronim. The Rashba and Tshuva and Chelek Aleph Simin Nunhei, the Rashba writes, or Kuf Nunhei, I don't know which one is correct. I think it's Simin Nunhei, where the Rashba says, that which you say in Parakama de Sukkah, Pirshal Asad Mnei Achamo, Tachtab Mnei Anesha Psula, Vitmar Allah Begumara, Allah Shana Mnei Anesha, Vilnosak Shera, Vilnosak Shera, Nimtze Mesach Chsadinum Psolskar Vyekav, Vilnosalamala, Einu Mala Veinu Morid. He says, you know what, if you're going to say, the Gemara over there says that anything you put up for decorative purposes, even though it totally blocks the Schach, that's fine. Your sukkah is still kosher. So the Shaul and the Rashba says, I don't understand. How could that be? That if you have something, you have a sheet, let's say, hanging underneath the schach, and it completely blocks off the schach, but the sheet is purely decorative in nature, then it's kosher, but then the schach isn't doing anything for you. You're not benefiting at all from the schach. And doesn't your primary protection have to be from the schach? That's what the Shaul and the Rashba was bothered by. How could we fathom that you put a sheet under the schach and that's going to be okay? The schach isn't protecting you at all if you put a sheet underneath the schach. So says the Rashba, Ikur dvarim elu nir li, shumi mashakaz basukas teshu v'darshinan, teshu kein taduru. He says, what do you mean? You do that by your house? You would hang a nice thing in your house and you don't say, oh, but my roof isn't helping me? That's just the way it works. That's how you treat your house. However you treat your house is how you treat the sukkah. That's the number one klal in all of Hilchos Yeshiva Sukkah is Teshu Kein Taduru. That's what governs our chiyuv on when it comes to traveling on Sukkot, we discussed last week and last year. It's what governs our chiyuv of sleeping in the Sukkah. The idea of Teshuv Kein Taduru, that if it's so cold in the Sukkah, that it would be a situation where you would leave your room. If your room were that cold and you would go sleep in a different room in the house, well, then you're allowed to leave the Sukkah when the Sukkah gets that cold to go sleep inside the house. But if it's not, right, it's all Teshuv Kein Taduru. How would you treat your house under similar circumstances? So says the Rashba, the din of Noi Sukkah is just like you will hire an interior designer or you decorate your own house and you decorate it beautifully and you get nice things all over your house. So you have nice things in your sukkah also. Ulfichach masha demosa ikar tikraso tzivsa kanatara shiemi psolz garn v'yakev domalehen. Your primary ceiling in the sukkah, that has to be psolz garn v'yakev. That has to be kosher eschach. But anything you add to that is still a din of Teshuva Kein Taduru. That's how the Rashba understands. Mary Violin Tshuva also says the same thing, Teshuva Kein Taduru. The other approach is the Shla HaKadosh. Shla HaKadosh says,
meaning,
Shlakadosh says, it's interesting. The Gemara never tells us, in all those first three Gemaras, the primary point of the Gemara was never to tell me, make sure you decorate the Sukkah. The Gemara was telling me, if you did decorate the Sukkah, don't use those foods. So says the Shlach Kadosh, but Sichasan Shal Tamid Chacham Tzrich Limur, a different Gemara in Sukkah says that, from the Pasuk of Va'alo Lo Yibol, that even the leaves don't wither. So we compare the leaves of the tree to the Sichas Chulin of a Talmud Chacham. It's just like a Talmud Chacham, he produces peros, and that's his Torah, but the leaves that aren't the Iker peros of the tree, those don't wither away either. Those are also valuable from a Talmud Chacham. When a Talmud Chacham speaks, you can learn from a Sichas Chulin. You can learn from his normal conversation. So the Shlach Kadosh says, you can learn from the example that are given by the Gemara. Gemara just wants to tell me there's a din called Huktzul Mitzvasa, that once you set aside something to be part of the Sukkah, becomes part of the Sukkah, you're not allowed to get any benefit from it. But how does the Gemara tell me the din? By telling me, oh, if you decorate your Sukkah, and then it gives me a whole list of things you could decorate your Sukkah with. So says the Shlakadosh, what you see from there is that the minug of Talmidei Chachamim, going back to the times of the Tanaim and Amoraim, was to put beautiful things up in their Sukkah. Why? So he says, because chibuv mitzvah, k'dei l'chabiv mitzvah sasukah, uli afosu b'krom nesadinin, it's in order to make it more beautiful. Doesn't sound like Teshuva Kein Taduru. Sounds like chibuv mitzvah sounds more like a zekei livan ve'u, more like just hiddur mitzvah in general. To show the great excitement and the love for the mitzvah, they would decorate the sukkah, not because they wanted the sukkah to be just like the house. There's a big nafkamina between the two. For instance, what do we generally use for decorations in a sukkah? If you were to try to string across Christmas decorations on the ceiling of your house, you know, unless there was a birthday party or something, and it, you know, and it was a sign, happy third birthday, whatever, little brother, little sister, you know, your parents would be like, what are you doing? You're ruining the whole house. That's, you know, 25-cent amazing savings, you know, decorations wouldn't quite do it for our homes. If you were to try to hang up posters of, you know, of anything, whatever it might be, posters in your living room or in your dining room, so probably that would not be viewed as the classiest thing in the world, unless it was in a very nice frame or whatever else. So the nafkamina between the Rashba and the Shla HaKadosh is probably whether our sukkah decorations are really a kiyum of nice sukkah. If you know that it's Teshuva Kein Taduru, so you should really treat it like your house. And you should have beautiful things in it, like your house. Just like we say, Teshuva Kein Taduru requires that you bring out your fine china and your silver, and you don't just eat on plastic when you're in the sukkah. You eat like you would in your house, so too the decorations also should be similar to the way you would decorate your house. But if you hold that it's just a way of showing chibuv mitzvah, so it's not so much about how beautiful it is for the house, it's beautiful for a sukkah. That's the tzura of a sukkah. And you're showing excitement by going and decorating it and dressing it up and putting things in the sukkah, even if it's not the kind of thing you would have in your house. Now you could argue that the standard of what you would keep in a sukkah wouldn't be what you would keep in your dining room in your house, but maybe what you would keep in a more airy, exposed kind of room in your house. More of a if you have, let's say, a sunroom or something like that, what kind of decorations you would put up there, which may be a slightly different standard, but still the basic nafkamina seems to be pretty clear. Good. There is a question when we talk about Hiddur Mitzvah. So the Gemara was explicit that in Shabbos, what the reason was for the Nois Sukkah. The Gemara says, Zekeli van Ve'us, not the fun of the mitzvos, make a sukkah na. How could you argue with that? Why would the Rashba start telling me Teshvu Kintaduru? The Gemara told us already what the purpose of Nai Sukkah is. Why would the Rashba go against the Gemara? So Rav Jolti suggests in the Sefer in Mishnas Yavitz, see if I have it. I didn't put in the Mar Makomos for some reason. Okay, Rav Jolti has a Mahalik where he basically says that Zek Helivan Vehu is not enough to make the noi considered part of the mitzvah itself. Meaning it doesn't be called, it's not called a shame sukkah. It's called something external to the sukkah that helps to beautify the sukkah. But it wouldn't give the noi itself a din of muktzah, let's say. It wouldn't give it the full status of a sukkah where it would be huktzah l'mitzvah sub. That only comes from Teshuvah Kintaduru. Since you have to, the definition of a sukkah is a place that would be similar to the way you live in your house, that gives it a shem sukkah. And therefore, the noi itself becomes muktzah. So that's what Rav Jolti understands. Rav Jolti was the Rav of Yerushalayim, 30, 40 years ago, whatever it was. He was a big, big Talmud Chacham. If you ever read Mishnas Yavetz, it's right up there on the shelf. Fantastic, fantastic shirim. If you ever need to give a shir on something, very, very clear and good presentation of basic lumdus. Rav Shechter used to tell us that when Rav Salvechik was trying out for chief rabbi of Tel Aviv in the early 1930s, he went to Eretz Yisrael to visit, to try to be the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. Rav Cook told Rav Jolti to go follow Rav Salvechik around and listen to all of his shiurim, because he said, he reminds me a lot of his grandfather. You don't hear someone like that all the time. You don't get such an opportunity all the time. Salvechik was like 30 years old at the time. He was a very young man. And Rav Jolti followed him around, and Rav Jolti later said that it had a tremendous, those few shiurim that he heard, following Rav Salvechik around there at Yisrael, listening to shiurim, had a tremendous impact on his Derech HaLimud. And you see it. You see it. His style of lamdus is very, very similar to what many of us are trained in, you know, from Talmidim of Rav Salvechik. Anyway, so that's one of the approaches. The other approach, I think, is a more pashut approach. There's a new sefer that just came out, Rabbi Klapholt showed me, called Sukkas Chayim, which is two volumes of just shiurim on Sukkas-related topics. If you ever need to speak between Mincha Maariv and Shul or something, and you need a good Sukkas-related topic, so it's a very good cheat sefer to use. So he's got like 30 pages on Nai Sukkah. So I just read through it quickly, and he points out that Zekeli van Vehu, look at all the other examples of Zekeli van Vehu. Shofar Na'a, Sefer Torah Na'a, Nice Ink. It's all about things that are, well, not all, mostly about things that are the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah itself. That the actual Cheftza Shel Mitzvah needs to be nice. As opposed to, Teshuvah Kintaduru tells me, forget about the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, what do you add to the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, supplementary to the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, to make the experience a nicer experience? Meaning, Zekeli van Vehu would tell you, when the Gemara says that you have to make a sukkah na'ah, doesn't mean you have to have decorations. Sukkah na'ah is not about decorations. What's sukkah na'ah about? Nice walls, nice schach, right? Making a nice sukkah. That's what sukkah na'ah is about. The other three Gemaras that we saw about, sadinin, kramin, the fruits, that all that stuff is not about the actual cheftz of the sukkah itself. It's about those decorations that you add supplementary to the sukkah. The only part that doesn't fit is the Gemara in Shabbos, when it gives examples of Zekeli van Vehu. There is one example of things that are supplements to the Ikar Cheftz Shel Mitzvah. And what's that example of all the examples it gave? Was the Sefer Torah. It said not only the ink and the way it's written, but it said the stuff you wrap the Sefer Torah in also should be very beautiful, which is interesting. That's a little more like Noi Sukkah, right? That seems to be a little bit more like the Sukkah that is. So the difference is, good. When it comes to the Sefer Torah associated items, they're not only Tashmisha Mitzvah, they're Tashmisha Kedusha. Yeah. And they have a higher level. So it could be that there's a special din in Zekeli van Vehu on any Cheftza Shel Mitzvah or any Tashmishe Kedusha also. But maybe Tashmishe Mitzvah, things that are secondary to a mitzvah, wouldn't be included in Zekeli van Vehu, and that's why you need a separate din of Noi Sukkah. Tashmishe Kedusha, Rav Shechter writes in Eretz HaTzvi, B'Shem Rav Salvechik, the halacha is Tashmishe Mitzvah, anytime you use something for a mitzvah, after the Zman Mitzvah is over, once the mitzvah is done, you're allowed to throw it out. So if let's say you have, the question I get asked every year after Sukkot, you have a lulav and esrog, and Sukkot is over. So once Sukkot is over, Mikra din, you're allowed to throw out the lulav and esrog. So our minhag is we wrap it up in a different bag so as to not be mevazed totally, but we could still throw it in the garbage. Once you wrap it up, you could throw it out. As opposed to when it comes to Tashmishe Kedusha, the halacha is that you have to put it in Geniza. It's a worn out set of tefillin. You have to put it in Sheamus. You can't just wrap it up and throw it out. So what's the chilek? So one is Tashmishe Mitzvah, one is Tashmishe Kedusha. How do we define Tashmishe Mitzvah versus Tashmishe Kedusha? So Rav Shachter writes in Eretz Tzvi, Tashmishe Kedusha is defined as anything that's associated with Ksav Shel Torah. Anything that's associated with actual writing of Torah. So tefillin have ksav shel Torah, and mezuzah has ksav shel Torah. Sefer Torah, obviously, ksav shel Torah. So the bottom of the tefillin, the covering of the Sefer Torah, all these things are tashmishim of something that has ksav shel Torah in it. Mele, they have a din of geniza. They have a din of being put in shemus. That's the definition. All kedusha stems from Torah, and therefore anything that has ksav shel Torah is going to be called tashmishe kedusha. Rav Shachter says, I think this part says he's not sure if it's from Rav Soloveitchik or he himself thought of it, but he says maybe that's the reason that when a Jewish person dies, there's a chiv to bury them. When a non-Jewish person dies, there's no chiv of kvura. Why? Because a Jewish person is tashmishe kedusha, and we all do mitzvos. Goyim do mitzvos. We do mitzvos. We're all tashmishe mitzvah, aren't we? Right? And don't tell me all because we do 613 and they do 7, and women do a few less, and kohanim do a few more. And it can't just be about numbers that they do fewer than we do, and that's why. So he says, no, it's about ksav shel Torah, that the pasuk says chakuk aluach libecha, that the Torah is actually engraved on our hearts. Our hearts are considered to be the cloth of the Torah Shebal Peh. So we have a din of Ksav Shel Torah. So even La'achar Zman Mitzvasa, we're already no longer able to use it because a person dies, so it's still Tashmishe Kedusha, and therefore needs Geniza, needs to be buried. As opposed to Tashmishe Mitzvah, so Kol Zman, that it's still used for the Mitzvah, has to be treated with the utmost respect. Kol Zman, that it's still being used for the Mitzvah. But once a person who's a guy who's not Chakuk Aluach Libecha, a guy in Torah doesn't mix, he's just Tashmishe Mitzvah, so once he dies, so then it's Tashmishe Mitzvah Lach Razman Mitzvasa, and therefore there's no Chiv Kvura. It sounds like a drush, but it's a cute vart. Okay, but that might be a difference. What Noah's saying is it may be correct, but that the Gemara and Shabbos may mention Sefer Torah related items because that's Tashmishe Kedusha, it's on a different level. Now, the question that really begs itself is, we talk a lot about Noi Sukkah, we talk very little about Noi of anything else. Now, we don't really, there's a minhag now that a lot of people put their esrog in a nice silver box, which is a wonderful thing, it's a beautiful thing. It never says that anywhere. It doesn't tell you to have your nice silver esrog box anywhere. Why not? Why not Noi Esrog? We have Noi Sukkah, why can't you have Noi Esrog? So, if you hold this to din and teshuv kentadur, you understand very well that it's more applicable to sukkah than it will be to anything else. But if you don't hold like the Rashba's teshuv kentadur, you hold like the shla, that it's just chibuv mitzvah, hidur mitzvah, so then lechora it shouldn't be a din in sukkah only. So why this unusual emphasis on sukkah? So the Gilyon Yashas says, Enochinami, that's the raya, that it's a din in teshuv kentadur. That's what Yosef Engel says. You have to say that it's teshuv kentadur, otherwise, why would we emphasize by sukkah any more than anywhere else? In the Avnei Nezer's Drush Sefer, Nos Hadesha, Chelik Aleph, page Reish Lamed Vav, which thought I had here. Yeah, it's there also on source number 9. So yes, this question also. Why is it that we don't have this by other mitzvahs emphasized as much? So he says, what was the other definition of the Anvehu? The other definition we have of the Anvehu is, I will build him a sanctuary, I'll build him a Beis HaMikdash. So Zekeli Anvehu teaches us both the idea of Hidur Mitzvah as well as the idea of Beis HaMikdash. So says the Avnei Nezer, Pashut, what that tells you is that you have to emphasize Hidur more by the Beis HaMikdash than you would anywhere else. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, unfortunately, so we emphasize Hidur in our shuls, right? But where else? What else is compared to a Beis HaMikdash? It says a sukkah. The Beis HaMikdash is called a sukkah. When we add in on sukkahs, in our benching, Harachamanu Yakam Lanu Es, Sukkas David on the fellows. What's the Sukkas David? David had a fancy sukkah that we're praying for? No, it's obviously a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting that we call the Beis HaMikdash Sukkas David. David never even saw the Beis HaMikdash, but that's a different issue, right? But we call the Beis HaMikdash Sukkas David. David laid the groundwork for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it's called Sukkas David. So you see, the Beis HaMikdash is called the sukkah. So says the Avnei Nezer. That's why we dafka want to emphasize Hidur Mitzvah, Zekei Livan Vehu, more so by sukkah than we would by anywhere else. Okay, we didn't really get into any halacha yet. Now let's get into halacha. You want to use or you want to touch the decorations. Mutter or aser. Shulchan Aruch is very clear about this. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Tofrei Shalom Chesed Bey, source number 11, Ochlim Umashkim Shetolim B'Sukkah Kedei Luna Osa, food, drink that you hang in the sukkah to make it beautiful, Asr L'Stavik Men Kol Shmona, you're not allowed to get any benefit from it all 8 days of sukkahs. Afilu Naflu, even if they've fallen down already, Ubi Yom Tov Shabbos also the Tatal and the Muktzim Heim, and the Yom Tov Shabbos not even allowed to touch them, because it's Muktzah, but if you made it tonight, like the Gemara says, then you're allowed to be mishtamish, and then you're allowed to use them. But the tnai has to be in a very specific lashon. He says it has to be lashon of eni bodel. So the exact lashon of the tnai is also, there's a lot of literature on that. I'd rather not get into the lashon of the tnai. Let's assume we generally don't make a tnai on our decorations, and therefore the iser remains totally intact. In Halicha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman isn't sure, what about the strings that hold up the decorations? Does that also have a din of the decoration? Are you not allowed to be metaltel those also? They also muksa on Shabbos and Yantif. Are they also something that you're not allowed to get benefit from? Say a decoration fell down, but the string is still hanging up, and you could use the string for something else. You need it for something else. Can you just cut it down and use it for something else? Pashtus, I would think that it should be a problem, that it should be aser. Because it's sometimes hard to draw the line between what, you know, a lot of decorations come with an attaching string. So does that have a din of the string, a din of the decoration? So Pashtus, it's all part of the same thing. It's all part of the decoration. I would assume that it should be a problem, that you remark to that for the use of the sukkah as well. But I hear the taina that if it doesn't have any decorative value, so then you weren't using that as decorations. You were just using that as something practical. So, okay, you should list topic.
Could you move it if it falls on the table?
So we'll get to that. So what if they fall on... if it falls on Yantif, let's say it falls on the floor. Let's say the floor first before we get to the table. So on Shabbos Yantif, you're definitely not allowed to move it, right? Because it's Muktzah. Now, what about Chol HaMoed? And then we'll get back to if it falls on the table. What if it fell in Chol HaMoed? So the Ma'aril in the Minhagim says you can put it back up on Chol HaMoed, that it's not muktzah to be metaltel on Chol HaMoed. It's huktzah l'mitzvasa, which means that you're not allowed to get benefit from it. You're not allowed to eat it if it fell down. But you can be metaltel on Chol HaMoed. You're allowed to touch it. So there's nothing wrong with hanging it back up on Chol HaMoed if it fell down. The Elia Rabbah, however, seems to disagree. He seems to think that you're not allowed to move it, but it seems that most poskim do not agree with the Elia Rabbah on that issue. Now, there was a famous Tshuvas Chasam Sofer where someone had the following Shaila. Apparently what they used to do is they would hang up an esrog in their sukkah as part of the decoration of the sukkah. Now, you would think that if you're going to do that, you might as well use a pasul esrog. But apparently someone decided that they're going to use a kasher, right, you have one now, that someone was going to use a kasher esrog to hang up as the night sukkah. You never know, people have their own mishagasim. Someone asked me last night when we were buying esrogim if they could buy a few extra esrogim because they want to make esrog jelly or esrog flavored ice cream or something. So first of all, ew, but aside from that, it's like you can't wait till after Yantif to make the esrog flavored ice cream. You have to like buy a esrogim now for that. Like, it's going to be the most expensive ice cream ever. But so someone had hung up the chasam sofer. Someone had hung up an esrog in the sukkah, and then someone else came and didn't have an esrog and needed to be able to the mitzvah of esrog, and there were no more esrogim available. So Shaila is on the first day of sukkah. He comes to your sukkah. He says, "Oh my gosh, you have an esrog in the sukkah. I don't have an esrog yet. Can you give me that esrog that's hanging in your sukkah?" So how's the Shaila Chasam Sofer? That's Bir Alacha quotes this Chasam Sofer. If you look at the Chasam Sofer says it's mutter to take it down. Why is it mutter to take it down? Because what's the issur? He has several reasons. Number one, he says, what's the issur? The issur is to get hana'a from the nice sukkah. It's to benefit at all from the nice sukkah. But mitzvah slav lehanas nitnu. Being able to be mekayim mitzvah, that's not called hana'a. So if it's not called hana'a, so then it's not a problem. You're allowed to take it down. It's not going to be a problem of hana'a. He says, what's the reason? Furthermore, he says, what's the reason that you're not allowed to get hana'a from the nice sukkah? Because it's a bizoy to the mitzvah. It's a bizoy to the mitzvah that you're going to go and use something that was set aside for the mitzvah and instead just eat it because you're hungry. That's a bizoy to the mitzvah. So mitzvahs, so that you can't do. But if you're going to go use it for a bigger mitzvah, You're not just taking it from Sukkah to go use it for Stam, for your own purposes. You can use it for a much bigger mitzvah, for the mitzvah d'oraisa of Esrog. You can, forget about being a secondary thing to the Sukkah, which is just noy of a mitzvah. Now you can use it for something real. So that's not a bizayin adrab. It's a great cover to the mitzvah. It's being malin b'kodesh. It's moving up in the world. So it's not considered a bizayin mitzvah. And the Chassam Sofer says that's malin b'kodesh, so that's okay. Fine. So there is a little more discussion on that topic from later Achronim as well, in terms of other concerns that might come up. But let's just first deal with the Chassam Sofer's arguments. So in the Tshuvas Machne Chaim, Chelek Gimel Sim Mem Tes, and this was quoted in the Sefer Moadim L'Simcha, which is a very nice Sefer of essays on Yontif related topics. So he has a 50-page essay on Noi Sukkah. So in that essay, he quotes from Tshuvas Machne Chaim. I didn't see the Machne Chaim inside, where he rejects the Chassam Sofer for the following reason. He says, first of all, you're right. Taking Esrog is a bigger mitzvah than decorating the Sukkah. But I have to take off my nice sukkah so you can get the mitzvah of Esrog? Do we say that there's such a concept? That I have to give up my mitzvah so that you can do a mitzvah? If it was if I lost my Esrog or I passed my Esrog and I needed an Esrog to do the mitzvah, so then I understand very well. You're going to tell me that it's better to...
What about Arbus?
So the question is, how far does that go, right? Do I have to suffer for that? So that's what seems to be the core issue over here. Where this comes up, Rav Asher Weiss has a piece about, let's say you find it's the Minigan Hasidic communities, where if they find a really gorgeous Esrog, they save it for the Rebbe, right? They don't. None of the Hasidim would dare take the most beautiful Esrog. They would save that for the Hasidic Rebbe. So Rav Asher Weiss asked, he deals with the Shaila, are you allowed to do that? You come across a mitzvah that's more mehudar, so you should give up the hiddur mitzvah so someone else could get a hiddur mitzvah. So he says, no, but it's an additional mitzvah of kavod tamidei chachamim, and he fetches out some answer. But the question is, is that really, logically it seems like the right thing to do. But is it really, halachically, is it the right thing to do? So this is a very similar issue that Chassam Sofer and this Tshuvas Machne Chaim are struggling with. It seems like the right thing to do. You're helping someone else do a bigger mitzvah. But at the same time, why should I have to lose out on my mitzvah so that someone else is able to do a mitzvah? I shouldn't have to make spiritual sacrifices. Physical sacrifices I'll make. But spiritual sacrifices to help someone else do a mitzvah? The guy didn't get an Esrog. It's his problem he didn't get an Esrog. I have to worry about my own mitzvahs. So that's what the Machne Chaim wants to argue. It's also, in terms of mitzvah slav lehanus nitnu, so he quotes a Ran in Meseches Rosh Hashanah in the name of the Baal Amar, where the Ran says mitzvah slav lehanus nitnu doesn't apply to mitzvah drabana, which is an interesting story. You got to go figure out the svara now. Why would mitzvah slav lehanus nitnu, when you get the benefit of a mitzvah from something and it's a mitzvah drabana, that's called a hana'a. But when the benefit of the mitzvah that you got was a mitzvah daraisa, it's not called a hana'a. I suspect you could relate this back to the famous Nesivus in Reish Lamed Aleph about all mitzvahs to Rabbanan being a din in the Gavra and all mitzvahs to Araisa being a din in the Cheftza. That it's not called a Hana'a because what you got was from the Cheftza, which is a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, and that's not Hana'a, that's a mitzvah. But if mitzvahs to Rabbanan are a din in the Gavra, but the Cheftza itself is just Stam Cheftza Midaraisa, it's not viewed as anything unique, it's not a Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, so you are getting Hana'a. The Hana'a is a Gavra of getting to enjoy getting the enjoyment from that Cheftza. Okay, you could probably connect it more carefully if you give it some time to think about it. Okay, but that's the Be'er Halacha quotes this in source number 12, quotes this Chassam Sofer about an Echad Shahailo Esrog Miyusar, he had an extra Esrog, so he hung it in the Sukkah, and then someone comes on the first day of Sukkot, so he says, absolutely, you're allowed to go and give it to him. And then he says, and not only that, you could charge the guy after Yontif for the Esrog also. You can get paid for the Esrog also, which is a whole other issue and a whole other discussion. So what if it fell in Shabbos? So now, what we've discovered so far, if it falls in Chol HaMoed, Rov of the Poskim would say you're allowed to go put it back up if your decorations fall in Chol HaMoed. What if it falls in Shabbos and Yontif? So, in general, on Yontif, we know the halacha is that any malacha is mutter for the sake of Ochel Nefesh. if you need it for your to prepare your meal, to help with your meal, you're allowed to cook on Yantif, you're allowed to do all sorts of malachas on Yantif for the sake of Ochel Nefesh. So maybe you can say the same should apply for Nisa Drabanan of Mukta. That here you have Nisa Drabanan that you're not allowed to be metal to something, but for Ochel Nefesh it fell on your table, fell right in the middle of your table that you want to eat from. It's impossible to eat from the table now. It makes it very difficult. So maybe that would fall in the category of Ochel Nefesh. So that's what the Teferes Shmuel on the bottom of the page of the Rush in Masechta Sukkah, if you look in the back of your Gemaras, he quotes, if you look in source number 15, Lashon Halachas Gedolos, Iturei Sukkah Shenaflu B'Shabbos Asurim Ba'Achila V'Asurim L'Taltel B'Mkaman, Naflu B'Yomtev Asurim Ba'Achila U'Mutar L'Taltel B'Mkaman. He quotes from Halachas Gedolos, from Rishon, that when it comes to Sukkah decorations, if it fell on Shabbos, you're not even allowed to move it. If it fell on Yantif, you can't eat it, but you're allowed to move it. But it fell in Chol HaMoed, you could even put it back up, right? So he says, Umasha kasav im hisna lav lemedak, no, Umasha tama hatur al zeh. Three lines before the end. Umasha tama hatur al zeh. That which the Torah wonders about, the shechilek bin Shabbos liyantif. Why should there be a difference between Shabbos and Yantif, linyan tiltul, in regards to Muktzah? Muktzah should be the same din on Yantif. So that's what he suggests. The Teferes Shmuel suggests, Ani Omer she'en l'tmoa, da'ayri she'naflu ala shulchan, v'yef shalechel of kol zman shalo yisiron. You can't use your table when the decorations are all over the table. U'mishum simchas Yantif, v'shayich bu ochel nefesh. That's called ochel nefesh. And therefore, you're allowed to be metaltel. One second. Efsha shemutal taltel muksa. V'chein paskatosos perikamevi, perikamed debetsa, sheitir tiltel muksa, mishamochel nefesh, b'yoktabal b'shabbos. Tiltel muksa is one of the things that are mutter to do for the sake of ochel nefesh. That's his chiddush, yeah?
What kind of muksa, like what category of muksa are we using?
It's huksa l'mitzvasa. It's a different kind of muksa. It's huksa l'mitzvasa. It's set aside to be used only for the, it's both. No, I'm sorry. Huksa l'mitzvasa is the issue to get hana from it. The issue to be metaltal from it is, what would it be? It would be klisha melachta l'isser. It's not klisha melachta l'isser. It would be just something that was, it's just something that was not available to you before Yantif. It was a new, what are the categories? Give me a couple space. What? Ah, come on! It's just something that wasn't in your mind before Yantif. That wasn't set aside for use before Yantif. It's classic muktza. Yeah, muktza machmas gufo. Right, that's what it is.
You can't move it like the Torah, you know.
So it's a good question. I'm not. You know what? I'm not. I'm not holding right now in the halachas of muktza. So apparently not. Whatever muktza was, apparently they're not willing to say. Although the Prima Gadim thinks that you could shake. You could at least be metaltel min atzad. You could pick up the table and tilt it over so that the decorations can fall off. Yeah, that's what it seems. By the schach, the Bir Alach is more makel with the schach because he says it's like graf shel ri'i. Graf shel ri'i is if you have something disgusting that's gonna just be embarrassing if someone comes. It's just gross. So then you're allowed to remove it. You're allowed to take it away. That's our heter to take out the garbage on Shabbos. Zechara, you shouldn't be allowed to take out the garbage. Totally muktza. You have no use for it anymore. You're just taking it out to get rid of it. But it has din graf shel ri'i. That's garbage. Since it's if you were to have an overflowing garbage can and it would be all over your kitchen, it would be disgusting. You'd be embarrassed if guests would come and they would see garbage all over the place. So that's why you're allowed to take out the garbage on Shabbos. So says the Bir Alach, if pieces of schach fall down, so that could be smelly, that could be gross, splintery, whatever. So that already you can remove because of graf shel ri'i. But if a poster or a little accordion decoration falls down, so that's not disgusting. So that probably wouldn't have that heta. Ironically, the schach would be more mutter to be metaltel than the decorations. That's the irony of it that the Mishnah Berurah points out. Okay, there might be differences between wall decorations on the one hand and schach decorations. The Ramah in Tafresh Lamed Ches Sif Beis says that you can remove wall decorations to protect the decorations. And if you're worried that they're going to get ruined from the rain, you're allowed to do that even if you didn't make it tonight. And it's based on a rush. The rush holds that the walls themselves are not usher for that purpose. That you're allowed to move them to protect them. However, this is not widely accepted by the Achronim, the Taz, Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah. They all point out that it seems like that Ramaz against the Gemara. You have to look carefully. We don't really have time for it now. If you look carefully at that Gemara, it really depends how you learn the Gemara. If you learn the Gemara like Rashi, or you learn the Gemara like other Rishonim, whether the Ramah is actually against the Gemara. And part of the issue of whether wall decorations have the full status and the same halacha as ceiling decorations is, what if a decoration falls off the ceiling? You say, you know what, let's just hang it back on the wall. I don't want to reach up to the schach and mess around. Just hang it back up on the wall. Is that considered a yerida from its original kedusha? Is that considered something that's problematic? Meaning maybe on Chol HaMoed you should have to put a dafka back up on the schach and not put it back up on the wall. So it depends how you view wall decorations. If wall decorations are the same thing as schach decorations, they're both noy sukkah, then no problem. Put it wherever you want. But if you hold that schach decorations are really the ikker, and the wall decorations were a little more lenient with, they don't have the full status of decorations, so maybe you shouldn't go and put it on the wall. Rav Zilberstein in Chashuk Echemed, is the sefer that he has of Halacha L'Maisa Shailas relating to each Masechta, to each Daf and each Masechta. They put it out pretty much with the Daf Yomi now. They're very fascinating. They don't always really relate to the Daf, but they're always fascinating discussions. So he has a Chashuk Echemed on Masechta Sukkah. So he says that the decorations that have tefillos on it were never called Muktzah, because you'd never really set them aside for pure decorative purposes. Like if, let's say, they have the Yishpizen on it. So people usually read the Yishpizen right off of a decoration. Or let's say it's a decoration that has all of Hilchos Sukkah on it. All the halachas, all the pictures from all the Mishnayos and Sukkah. So you could chazer over the Mishnayos just by reading the decorations. There are a lot of them out there now. There's some phenomenal, phenomenal posters that have a lot of quality halacha and Torah that you can really learn from the decoration. So Zilberstein thought that if those fall down, those aren't muktzah. Because those are, and the Chara makes a lot of sense, because you didn't really set them aside only for decorative purposes. It serves a dual purpose. You serve as a limud also. It's like a sefer that you happen to have up in the sukkah. So he thought that that should not be a problem. There's a discussion in the Achronim about, let's say you just bring something into the sukkah to make the sukkah nicer. A standing thing in the corner of your sukkah. Not attached to the wall, not attached to the schach. Does that have the same din as noy sukkah? Meaning, is the din of Noi Sukkah that is connected to the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah and therefore becomes part of the Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, becomes part of the Sukkah? Or is the din of Noi Sukkah, no, anything that's set aside to beautify the Sukkah? It's not that it becomes part of the Sukkah. That's not the Vard and how it works and how it becomes Muktzah, that it's part of the Sukkah. It's just that it's there to beautify the Sukkah, so it's there for a higher purpose. And since it's there for a higher purpose, you're not allowed to get your own hanah from it. So that chakira is going to determine if you have a separate standing decoration aside from the noy that you have on the schach and the noy that you have on the walls. Now, very halacha l'maisa, very important, and where you see a lot of people mess up, is an explicit Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah that if sukkah is more than four tefachim removed from the schach, that it's... if you look at source number 30, Itmar, Noi Sukkah, Mufloggin Mimena Arba'a. If you have Noi Sukkah that's more than four tefachim removed from the schach, hanging down more than four tefachim, Rav Nachman Amr Ksheira, Rav Chisav Rabba Ravuna Amri Psula. So Rav Nachman says it's fine, it's kosher. Rav Chisav Rabba Ravuna say that it's pasul. Rav Chisav Rabba Ravuna Iklu Lebe Resh Kalusa. Rav Chisav Rabba Ravuna went to the Resh Kalusa. Igninu Rav Nachman b'sukkah shenoyim uflagim men arba tefachim, and Rav Nachman had them sleep in a sukkah that the decorations were hanging down more than four tefachim. Ishtiku v'lo amru lei v'lo midi, so they didn't say anything. They just slept in it. They didn't have a problem with it. So amru hadu rabbanu mishmatayu. Ah, you changed your mind. You think it's okay now? Amru lei no. Anan shluchim mitzvah anabtur min a sukkah. We didn't change our mind. We still hold the zaser. But we hold we're not in sukkah now. We hold we don't have to be in sukkah now because we're shulchan mitzvah and shulchan mitzvah apart from sukkah. So what the Gemara seems to conclude is that if the nice sukkah are more than four tefachim, hang down more than four tefachim, which isn't that much. Four tefachim is like a foot. It's not that much. A little more than a foot. So it's really not that much. That could passel the sukkah, that you're not yotzei if the nice sukkah hang down more than four tefachim. The question is, yeah, it tells us how much is hanging down. How much space does it have to cover for it to be a problem? Meaning, let's say it's just in one area. It's like, I don't know, a few inches thick and it's just one decoration in one area. So that's going to ruin your whole sukkah. So how exactly do we view nice sukkah that dips down below four tefachim? So there seems to be a discussion in the poskim about this. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says what l'chor is the most logical thing to say, which is that it has the same din as schach pasul. Just like if you had some schach puzzle in your schach, if you had a metal rod going, you know, right in the middle of your schach. So we know the halacha is schach puzzle is puzzle, but dalit tefachim. four tefachim of schach pasul is going to pasul your entire sukkah. But if it's even three tefachim, you're not allowed to sit under it. Right? You shouldn't sit under the schach pasul. So if you have a low-hanging decoration that extends three tefachim, so then you shouldn't sit under that low-hanging decoration. You should treat it like any other schach pasul, that any little bit of schach pasul that's hanging in the sukkah. However, and that would be a tremendous kula. That would be very easy, because very often, you know, they don't like load the sukkah with total, you know, with a million decorations in a row that are less than four tefachim. I'm sorry, that dip down more than four tefachim. So l'chor, that would be easy to avoid. Problem is, the Prima Gadim doesn't agree with that. The Prima Gadim thinks that even if it's a tefach, the din of nois sukkah, muflagin arba tefachim, is not a din in schach pasul. It's a din in a separate ohel, that you have a new ohel that's covering you. And the definition of an ohel is anything that's even one tefach wide. So that would be a real problem. Then you wouldn't be allowed to sit under any schach that dips down that much. So what a lot of people do is when they have any nice sukkah that dips down that much. So what a lot of people do is if they have low-hanging nice sukkah, they'll put it over the table where no one's sitting underneath it. It's not going to pasul the whole sukkah because it's not enough to pasul the whole sukkah. Right? And even if it was enough and it was hanging over the table, our sukkahs normally have four walls. So we just have a din of like you having two separate sukkahs, one on this side of the psul and one on that side of the psul, and they're both kosher sukkahs. It wouldn't be a problem. Right? But so if hanging over the table, generally that's... So if you're involved in decorating in your house, you should try to be makbid about that. That the chains, you should try to hang a little closer, and the things that really sink down, you should try to put over the table. If you're not involved in the decoration of your sukkah, you should try to get involved, so that you could avoid it. There's an interesting discussion, Mikrai Kodesh. I thought it was Davar Pashut, I don't know. Mikrai Kodesh had a suffix in Rav Si Pesach Frank, in Chelek Gimel Siman Hei. He wasn't sure, how do you measure the four tefachim? This would be a huge enough kamina ladina. Whether the four tefachim from the bottom of the noi, that it dips down, the lowest point is four tefachim, or four tefachim from where it starts. That it starts four tefachim, meaning that from the place where the string that's connecting the noi to the schach itself is four tefachim. It's a huge enough kamina. Right, if you hold the four tefachim is from the bottom of the noi, then all of our sukkahs have issues that we got to deal with. If you hold, it's just the string can't be four tefachim, the noi can't start within four tefachim the schach, then most of us are probably okay. Right, most of the time you won't find decorations that they start only four tefachim below the schach. Rabbi Yaakov in Emes Yaakov seems to assume the more kula took away. He seems to assume that it's only a problem from the top. Rosh Zalman and Halicha Shlomo doesn't see it that way. I always assumed, I just read the Gemara, I always thought the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara was that it can't dip down that much. But if you realize what the Gemara was talking about, you could see why you would assume the other way. The Gemara was talking about spreading a whole sheet under the schach. So where it starts and where it ends are pretty much the same place. It's just a sheet that was like dipping down beneath the schach. So if it was more than four tefachim below the schach, so it meant there was airspace of four tefachim between the schach and the sheet. When we hang things from the schach, so it's hard to say from, you know, four tefachim from where it starts, because it probably, again, it goes back to that issue of whether the string that connects it is considered part of the noi. If the string that connects it is considered part of the noi, it always starts at the schach. Right? That's it. The string is part of the noi, so it starts at the schach. Okay, if all the string is not part of the noi, then you have that issue. But L'chora yesh al ma'alismoch, if you're really stuck. If you're stuck in a situation where you're invited to someone's house and their sukkah is, has low-hanging decorations, so yesh al ma'alismoch, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, was a pretty big rabbi. So you have what to be samechan in terms of his understanding of the noi that's muflag dalet amos from the schach. But again, if you're building your own sukkah, so it's certainly preferable to avoid those things. Types of decorations. Let's just go through very quickly maybe a couple of the types of decorations of the Minhagi Yisrael. Apparently it's a widespread or well-known Sephardic Minhag that they would hang the parochas of the Aron Kodesh in the sukkah. My guess is their year-round parochas that they have down, because through Yom Narayim and Sukkot, we usually keep up the white one. So on the Aron, so they would take the other one probably and use that as a Sukkot decoration. That's quoted in Minhagei Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky. He says that was the minhag of the Sfardim, that they always used it. Isn't it Tashmishei Kedusha? So it's an Afnur Raman Shulchan Aruch that the parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh is only tashmish to tashmish. It's not tashmisha kedusha. The Aron Kodesh is tashmisha kedusha. It houses the Sefer Torah itself. The parochas is a tashmish of the Aron Kodesh, so it's only tashmish to tashmish. Wouldn't have the status of a tashmisha kedusha. The Bach in the Tshuva seems to disagree. He seems to assume that, no, that you're not allowed to use it for a chuppah. Apparently that was the minhag also, that sometimes people would want to use it as their chuppah. They would take the parochas of the Aron Kodesh and use that as their chuppah at a wedding. So the Bach says that it's not allowed to be used. Sounds like it does have sort of a din of a tashmisha kedusha against the Rama, but he said maybe the Hatter is, according to the Bach, maybe the Hatter would be that if you make a tenai in the original kedusha that it should be able to be used for this purpose, and if that was the minhag, that everyone always used the parochas for this purpose, then it would be okay. I've never seen anyone that actually does that. I mean, I don't know, I don't go to Sephardic sukkahs that much, but I've never seen anyone that actually does that. What's a much more common shaila are decorations that were specifically made to be decorations for non-Jewish holidays. They weren't made for our holidays, and we just use them. You go to any store and you buy sukkah decorations, you look on the package, it doesn't say sukkah decorations. So are you allowed to use those? So all the poskim, most of the poskim say that it's totally mutter. And the reason that it's totally mutter is that it was never actually used for non-Jewish, and the company is not even a religious company that makes it probably, they're just marketing. They're marketing to who they think they're going to sell it. And if they thought writing sukkah decorations on it would sell it, they'd write sukkah decorations on it. It's not even, first of all, Hazmana lav milsa. But even if Hazmana was milsa, even if just setting it aside, it's they're not really setting it aside to be used for that purpose. They're setting it aside to sell. They just want to sell it. They think the best way to sell it is if they write that it's for the non-Jewish holidays. That's how Chassam Sofer writes that it's Mutter of Vazner. Writes in the Tshuva that even if it says explicitly on the packages for non-Jewish holidays, it's still mutter. Rav Yashar says mechura hadavar, that he finds it a little, it's beneath us that we should be using such things. But I think the minhag Yisrael is that we do use such things. Shor Mitzion Balach has an interesting take on it. He quotes a Gemara in Avodah Zarah where the Gemara talks about all the different noye Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara gives the list of the noye Avodah Zarah. And the list is exactly the same list of items that we list as Noy Sukkah. So he says, maybe the Gemara is already trying to tell us that even in the times of the Gemara, the same things that they would use for Avodah Zarah, we'd use for Noy Sukkah. But the truth is, that's not really a raya at all. Because it's something like wine, oil, you know, we're not taking their wine and oil and using it for a Noy Sukkah. We're not taking Yayin, you know, Stam Yenam and Shemen Akum, whatever, using for Noy Sukkah. We're using our own wine and oil for Noy Sukkah. It's nothing that was miyuchad to be used for Avodah Zarah. In our situations, it's a much more complicated question. A lot of Noy Sukkah have psukim written on them, so you have to be careful with this. It might be a Seamus issue if it has full psukim on it. Shlomo Zalman points out what we've pointed out from Rav Schechter in the past. Sometimes psukim aren't really written as psukim; they're just meant as like an expression. Baruch Ata B'Vacha. That just means Baruch Haba, hello, welcome. So it's not really a pasuk, even though it is a pasuk. It's not really a pasuk; it's just an expression from a pasuk. But if it has a full pasuk, you have to be careful that it be treated with the proper respect, that you not throw away the nice sukkah if it has a real pasuk. And it's probably preferable not to use it, because if it falls down on sukkahs, you're not allowed to pick it up. And it's mutal bibizayon, it's sitting there on the floor, but you're not allowed to pick it up. You can't, because it's sukkahs, you know, it's muksa. So it's probably best to avoid anything that has real psukkim on it. Now, the posters that have pictures with, you know, from all the Mishnayos, pictures are in Torah. It happens to be, from looking at the pictures, you can learn a lot of Torah. You can learn a lot of Torah from looking at a lot of things, if you're attuned to that. I had a friend in Karen B. Avenue who finished like 3/4 of Shas when he was in high school, and he remembered most of it also. So we'd be walking around, like, you know, from the bus stop to Karen B. Avenue, and he'd be like, that reminds me of the Gemara in Tainus, and that reminds me of, like, I don't know what you're talking about, but he saw Torah everywhere. He was always able to, so you could see different things and pick up Torah from different places. But that doesn't mean that it has a din of Torah, that it's a problem. Those decorations are taka very good. Pictures of Gedolim. So the Salmas Chaim, Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, and Shuvah Salmas Chaim says, Teshuva came to Duru. If you have pictures of Gedolim in your house, it makes sense to have pictures of Gedolim in your sukkah. If you don't have pictures of Gedolim in your house, I don't see why you would have pictures of Gedolim in your sukkah. Now, some people don't have pictures of Gedolim in their house because their wives don't let them have pictures of Gedolim in their house, but they would love to have them. So then in the sukkah, you could have it, because if she lets it in the sukkah, so then it's okay. You have in the sukkah. So it's not, what he's worried about is that there were some Gedolim that were makbid on photography. They just didn't like the idea of pictures. They thought it was a little Avodah Zarah or whatever. They just didn't like photography in general. tell a story that Archos Rabbeinu says that when the stipler was in the army, he fell asleep once with a sefer on him, and one of the Russian soldiers, he was in the Russian army as a kid, one of the Russian soldiers drew a perfect picture of the stipler sleeping with the sefer on him, and he woke up and all the Russian soldiers were laughing at him, oh, it's so perfect, so nice, and they said the stipler gave away like his bread rations for like a week to buy the picture back and rip it up, because he must have been the worst soldier ever. I mean, every story you hear about the stipler in the army, but he was a big, big tzaddik. He was very makbir on every little thing in halacha. He held pictures with mutter, and there are pictures of the stipler. You find pictures of the stipler all over the place. But he was very sensitive to a lot of things. He was a big, big chassid in terms of chassid, not in the sense of use chassidus, but just in terms of he was extremely zealous in his zehirus from Isurim. Nowadays our minhag is that we're makel with pictures. We take pictures. We have pictures of gedolim all over the place. So the chara should not be a problem. The birds. So take a look in this modern. And I realize I'm out of time, but if you take a look in modern Masimcha, he suggests that the birds have that the minhag. The original minhag was to take an empty eggshell or an empty shell of something and paint it on the outside beautifully. And as a bird, and it was supposed to be symbolic of here we are sitting in a sukkah, which reminds us of the fact that we're in Gullus, because even though we're in the Tzila de Nusa, we're out exposed to the elements, and we ask ourselves the questions after we went through Yom Noraim, what are we still doing in Gullus? We davened so hard, we did such a good job. So the bird was symbolic of the fact that, yeah, everything looked really beautiful on the inside, but we were hollow on the inside. We were chirping like a bird, beautiful tefillos, and it looked gorgeous from the outside, but on the inside we were hollow. And that's the answer to our question of why we're still in Gullus. And he suggests that's where the minhag of having birds hanging in the sukkah comes from. Okay.